If you've got your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to have a good time whether you do or not. If you don't enjoy God, get saved. You know, people get too religious and they forget how happy we got. Happy Pappy. Come on now. In His presence is fullness of joy. And there's no defeat in Him. God knows no defeat. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, I was thinking about this. Several years ago, I was preaching with Jesse Duplantis, and I was going there, you know, sitting on the platform. I had preached the night before. I thought, I'm going to have a really good time tonight. I don't know if I'll learn anything, but I'll laugh a lot, you know. And I was, the sad thing is, I didn't hear a word Jesse said that night. Because while I was on the platform, you know, they put all the speakers on the platform, literally I had an open vision. And I watched myriads upon myriads of angels being released worldwide. And I felt like I was caught up. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this? And He said, these are harvesting angels sent for the last day's harvest. And He said they're to bring in souls and they're to bring in finances, and it needs to be released in that order. That those are not concerned about souls, they will not help them financially. But that those that are concerned about the lost, they will also be used to bring in the provision. And in Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, it talks about angels. And it talks about how they're servants of the heirs of salvation. One of the things I want you to understand is we will never fully fulfill what God has called us to do if our servants aren't working. In other words, they were sent here for a purpose to help us do and establish God's purpose on earth. Come on now. You must begin to understand that. I begin to look throughout all Scripture that we know in Psalm 103, verse 20, that angels hearken diligently into the voice of God. I looked at all the times angels came in response to prayers or words spoken. In Daniel 10:12, the angel came and said, I came in response to your words. Come on now. He was hindered, but he wasn't stopped. You know, when you speak the word of God, something supernatural begins to take place. Come on. And we, you know, and when Abraham was going to get a wife for Isaac, he sent a servant out, and he spoke these words, the angel of the Lord will go before you and make your journey successful. We need to begin to speak that the angel of the Lord will go before us. Come on now. Amen. And make our journey successful. We need to begin to expect angels to be basically helping us. That's why they're here. You know, we have angelic. And don't, you know, I'm going to talk about spiritual warfare, but we need to understand that two-thirds of the angels are not fallen. Come on now, that there's more with us than there is with them. That we're not, you know, we are on the winning side, but we do need help. Come on. You know, I was thinking about this and just praying about it. And I was, you know, when God brought that back to me, I read a Brother Copeland's magazine, Voice of Victory. And they had testimonials of what took place during the tornado. And being from Oklahoma, tornadoes have been on my mind a lot. You know, like I said, our church had people on the ground within an hour and a half, you know, of the Moore tornado. I mean, we literally have, you know, it's amazing how many people were activated to the scene. It's amazing how many people showed up, period. You know. I mean, it's Oklahoma. It's like the state shows up. Come on. It's different than a lot of the places in the Northeast when a few people show up, and usually they show up to loot. But anyway, just kidding, sort of. I'm originally from New York. I'm just talking out of knowledge there. But, you know, in the Joplin tornado, there were so many testimonies of angelic participation. Of someone in Walmart. They said that everyone saw this huge man lifting crates and TVs and heavy stuff off of people. And yet when they nobody knew who he was, no one knew from that moment on he disappeared. But they saw him there. There was a teenage boy they found him a mile and a half away in a tree limb, safe. And they asked him, they said, what happened? And he said, the tornado took me, and I was flying in the air, and an angel caught me. And he said, the angel fed me on the way. That's what he said. And he said, he made sure I was safe in the tree, then left. Then there was a young girl that a tree limb went right through the windshield and embedded her to the seat. And by the time they got there, the rescue crew was so concerned about her, but she was so calm. They didn't know if she was going to live or die, and she said, I'm going to be okay. There was a man that sat next to me. Came into the car after that thing happened, sat next to me, told me everything was going to be okay. And basically, they took her to the hospital. Within a week, she was out swimming again, playing again. Well, you know, I believe we have angelic hosts around about us. How many of you believe that? I believe we need to release them constantly. Release them. Come on. I think it's okay to command your angels. As long as you're speaking in line with God's word. You can't ask them to do anything contrary to God, but you can't expect them to participate. Come on, what the will of God is. Does this make sense? And, you know, tonight I'm going to get into beginning on some spiritual warfare stuff. And spiritual warfare, to me, I almost shied away from it because most people teach spiritual warfare like we're trying to get the victory. And to be honest, if you're trying to get the victory, you never will. Because Christ has already given us the victory. You can never, ever, ever, you must learn how to exalt your position above your condition, and positionally you're above. And not beneath. Come on now. Seated far above. Until we realize we win and we have won because of Christ. See, how many people are saying, even in the Old Testament, when they were sent out to take the land, as far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. He said, I've given you the land, go take it. I've given you the land. And that's what God says. God says, I've given you victory. I've given you power. I've given you authority. I've given you dominion. Enforce it. Come on now. That's a whole different concept than trying to get it. Come on. Until we see that, we're in trouble. See, there are certain messages I preach okay because they're who I am. You know, there are certain things that, you know, one of the things I am is I'm a visionary. So, you know, earlier we've been talking about, anytime you hear a message about, you know, from me, you're going to hear vision in it. You're going to hear about seeing. It's just who I am. You know, years ago, I was minding my own business. Actually, I was desperate for a word. I usually don't cry out for a prophetic word, but I was saying, God, speak to me. And living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have the best of the best. It's the charismatic belt buckle. So there's always a special meeting going on. And back in those days, you always had some famous person in town. You know? And I'll never forget, I went that week, I was so hungry to hear from God. And the first night, I went, and there was Marilyn Hickey, and there were 3,000 people in the auditorium. And she only called out one person. Guess who it was? It was me. But she gave me a word, and it wasn't the one I wanted. Come on. I wanted her to say, God's going to bless you. God's going to prosper you. That he's going, you know, all huge doors are going to open for you, you know. Instead, she said, God gave me a scripture for you. And it's Ezekiel 3:17-19. See, I have appointed you as a watchman over the house of Israel. And if you see someone in sin, and if you warn them, then the blood will be on their hands if they don't obey. But if you don't warn them, come on, the blood will be on your hands. And she said, I never give words like this. And I'm thinking, then why did you start now? Come on. And I thought, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? So I wrote down the scripture thinking, okay, let's go to another meeting. What's behind door number two? And sure enough, Dick Mills was in town. And Dick Mills gives a lot of scriptures. And, you know, again, there were like 5,000 people in the building. Now, this time they called out a lot of people, because he does. But I was one of them, which was still the percentage of, you know, it was weird. You know, God was, and he said, I don't know why I'm giving you this scripture. I don't know if I've ever given this scripture to anyone. But God told me to tell you Ezekiel 3:17-19. And I thought, don't you have another one? But God said, I've set you again as a watchman over the house of Israel. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Then I went by FCF. Buddy Harrison was pastor there. And it wasn't even during the church service. I was talking to one of his staff members who was a friend. He walks by the door and he stops and says, yes, Lord. Turns around. He said, God told me to tell you Ezekiel 3:17-19. Well, from that moment on, and you got to understand something, in my lifetime, I have warned numerous people, 3 worldwide people, that had they had heeded the warning, they wouldn't have died. Several I have given words to that will tell the you know, behind the scenes, will say that it saved their lives or saved their ministry. So I don't enjoy it, actually. I don't enjoy giving warnings. I mean, I don't enjoy everything about being a seer. There's things I don't really want to see that God shows me anyway. But there's something about that, you know? And so I know that that's a call in my life. And I also know that God had told me that I have to teach people to win. He said, I want you to teach people how to conquer, not how to cope. You know, and it basically everything I teach is to try to get the church into a victorious attitude, because faith is the victory. If we don't expect to win, we won't. If we don't see ourselves as already, that we've been made more than conquerors, that you were made to conquer, that you were made to overcome. Come on now. If we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, we'll end up having a grasshopper mentality and dying in the wilderness. Come on. Does this make sense to you? So God has really dealt with me. I'm an athlete, and you show me a good loser, and I'll show you that somebody I don't want on my team. They've had too much practice. You know, I'm one of those type of people. I don't like losing because I'm not a loser. If you like losing, chances are you are a loser. Come on. That's nice. Thank you. You know, does this make sense? But the last thing, and the reason I'm teaching what I'm teaching right now, is I'm also a fighter by nature. You know, my parents said when I was born, the doctor slapped me, I slapped him back. I don't know if that's true or not, but I tend to be a fighter. I tend to have causes. Do you know what I'm saying? And I believe that the church has got to get its fight back. We got to fight the good fight. We got to fight the, because we love people. Come on. Because we love our community. Because we love our nation. Because we love our families. We have got to fight to see God's will done in their life. Do you hear what I'm saying? 1 Timothy 6:12 says we need to fight the good fight of faith. Now, a good fight is one you win. But we need to fight the good fight. You know, and when God said, you know, he's beginning to quicken me to teach on spiritual warfare. And like I said, I don't always enjoy most teaching on spiritual warfare. Because sometimes they're too demon-oriented instead of God-oriented. And, you know, they can get spooky spiritual. And things are spooky enough. Let me tell you my first thing, my first experience trying to cast out a devil. And that's the word, that's the key word, trying. I had just gotten saved. And someone came up to me and said, my friend has a demon. He's demon possessed. He said, you want to go and cast it out? And you know, when you're newly saved, you don't know anything. But you think, you know, oh, yeah. So I ran over there. I'll never forget going to this person's house because he answered the door. He looked nice enough. So I went in and I began to talk to him about how God is a God of deliverances. And I began talking about Jesus. The moment I began to talk about Jesus, his eyes rolled back. And I thought, you got to be kidding. And all of a sudden, I hear another voice coming out. I'm going to kill you. And I didn't stick around to hear anything else. I said, no, you won't. I'm out of here. And I just took off running, you know. Now, you got to understand something. 10 years later, I'm preaching in Syracuse, New York. A little lady comes up for prayer. She looks so sweet. And I all of a sudden, I look and I looked into her eyes and I saw something. I said, I know that one. So I honestly was trying to get the ushers to take her to a back room, lock her in there or something. That way, if we don't get her delivered, nobody knows. But these big ushers, she took one, threw him up in the air, threw the other one up in the air. I mean, and she's like 90 pounds. These guys were like 250 or 260. And you could tell the fight was on. So, you know, being the man of God I was, I said, I want everyone to begin to praise the Lord. Well, I was stalling. You know, how many of you have ever stalled? I mean, it was like, God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And I'm going through every scripture I can remember on casting out devils. You know, do we ask them their names? Or do we tell them to shut up? Come on now. You know, it's both scriptural. And if you ask them their names, what if they're a lying devil? I mean, how? You know, so, I mean, I'm going through that in my head, but I'm having everyone, and I'm trying to stay calm because I learned if I said, I don't know what we're going to do, everyone would have run out of the building. And finally, I heard the Lord say, told me what to do, and I did it, and she got delivered. It was the neatest thing. In fact, she actually was a witch, and she ended up being strong in the church for years. Totally delivered. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know? I mean, one of the things, but if you do what God shows you to do. I remember Jesse DePlanet said one of the first times he tried, he dealt with the demonic. A lady came up, and it's not always a lady, but this time it was. he went to lay hands on her. He said the power of God hit her. In fact, he even had the people. He said, well, I'm about ready to cast out a devil. So he said, I want you guys to plead the blood of Jesus over you so that this thing doesn't come on you. So they said, they're all going, blood, Jesus, blood, 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 Jesus, blood, 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 Jesus. He said, there are about 1,000 people going, blood, 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 blood. He said, it sounds like a bunch of tugboats in a harbor. Yeah. So he laid hands on the lady, and she flies backwards, you know, goes down under the power. Well, she had a wig on. And the wig pops up in the air, and this guy has his eye. He's going blah, 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 blah. And he's on the, he has his eyes closed. The wig hits him. He starts freaking out. Hairy devil, hairy devil. But anyway, just a little comic relief before we start. But but how many of you understand warfare? We're called to war. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 3 says, the Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. How many people understand the Lord is a warrior? If we're going to be like him, you're going to be a warrior. Yeah. He's saying in Zephaniah 3:17, let's look at this. I want you to understand something. We got to fight, baby, and we got to win this fight. It's already guaranteed, but we still have to show up. You know, it's really sad when the fight is fixed and we still lose. And that's what's been happening. The fight is fixed. We have all power. We have all authority. Come on. But because we're not exercising it, we're losing. And that's really sad when we have a guaranteed victory and we still can't. Come on. Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God is in your midst. I love that. A victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. But he's a victorious warrior. Come on now. He's in our midst as a victorious warrior. And Joel 3:9 says, wake the mighty man for war. Wake up the mighty man. Wake up. I believe we got to wake up the church. Come on. Wake up the church. God wants to give you weapons of righteousness for your right hand, for your left hand. Come on. He doesn't want the devil to be chasing us. He wants us to be chasing him. Come on. See, when we wake up to righteousness, not only will we not sin, we will actually begin to dispel the evil one. We'll be satisfied with God's likeness. And Romans 13:11 talks about it's high time we awake out of sleep. And what we do, how do you know if you're awake and out of sleep? You put on the armor of light. What does that mean? If you're not willing to fight, you're not in the light. You're not walking in the light. If you wake up, you know, the sleep in church doesn't win anything. It's high time we wake up, that we make no provision for the flesh. We put on Christ Jesus. Come on now. Hallelujah. I'll guarantee you one thing. Jesus wouldn't put up with some of the things we do. Hear what I'm saying? He would not put up with it. He wouldn't even put up with it with his own disciples. When you know, Peter was doing really good. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He should have stopped talking then. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. He said, upon this rock, the rock of the revelation of Jesus, I'll build the church. He said, I've given you keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. The gates of hell won't prevail against you. Then Jesus figures, Peter's got a revelation, so I can tell him what I'm going to do. So he goes on and say, talk about how he has to die. And Peter begins to rebuke him. What was Jesus' response? Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. He recognized the Spirit. He recognized the Spirit. Come on now. I believe God wants to open our eyes and we begin to recognize the Spirit. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, we need to begin to recognize when a spirit is trying to attack us. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. You know, the whole earth is in travail into the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, you got to understand, so we need to understand that we have authority. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, therefore you go. There was a transfer. We are the authority of God on earth. Whatever we permit is permitted. Whatever we forbid is forbidden. And I'm grateful for understanding spiritual authority. Believe me, I am grateful that I know I have authority even over weather patterns. Living in Tornado Alley. I don't want to do NEM. To be honest with you, I believe one of the reasons why not much has hit our city is we know how to pray. I believe it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to drive on I-44 in Missouri. And I look, I see this funnel cloud coming. And so I figure I better turn on the radio just to see. They said, if you were at such and such a place in the highway, get out of your car immediately and get in the ditch. And it's right where I was. I'm watching the thing come at me. So I did. I pulled the car over, and I was about ready to lay in the ditch, but I had a brand new suit on. And I really liked the suit. And I thought about it, and I said, no way. No devil in hell. I am not putting this suit in this ditch. God's given me authority. Number one, if the thing's low enough, ditch ain't going to save you. So I stood up and began to talk to the tornado. So I command you in Jesus' name. I said, you go and just go 30 miles from here. I didn't know there was a town 30 miles from there. It did take out the town, but my suit was saved. So I'm learning. I'm still learning. My wife said, you got to stop saying this, because for years I would say, we thank God for more, because every time a tornado is supposed to hit Tulsa, it hits more. And that was something. Now, I won't say that ever again. You know, I'm not saying that today. It's from now on, I'm going to say, no, not again. Never again. Not even for, you know, but I have authority in where I live. You know, I found out sometimes my authority doesn't extend to other regions, but it does extend where I live. Come on. You need to understand, you have authority. You know, a thousand may fall one hand, 10,000, it won't come near you. Why? Because you got authority. Come on now. Does this make sense to you? It doesn't mean it won't be around you. It just means it won't get near you. Come on. Because you got authority. We need to begin to see ourselves that way. We're not trying to get the victory. We are fighting from a place of victory. We're called to exercise authority, take dominion. We're called to dominate in the spirit realm. We're called to dominate. Let's go to Psalm 18. Because if we'll get the church, I guarantee things would change if we would exercise authority. Things would change. I mean, you know, if we expected to win, you know, we would win. I love what it says in Psalm 18, verse 33. He says, he makes my feet like hinds feet, and sets me upon my high places. Then in verse 34, he says, he trains my hands for war. What is that saying? God says, unless you understand your position, I can't train you for war. See, most people, they start off with verse 34, he trains our hands for war. No. He doesn't train our hands for war from a place here on earth. He trains us from the high places. He sees us in heavenly places. Come on now. Once we understand we've been seated far above, according to Ephesians chapter 1, far above principalities, far above powers, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that's where our authority and our victory come. Just as Jesus was sent from heaven to earth, we've been sent. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Why? You got the same spirit, the same power, the same authority, and you have the name of Jesus. Come on now. When you begin to recognize that, it changes everything. Come on. Then he trains our hands for war. He says, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I didn't turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. I believe God has girded us for spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against powers, it's against evil spirits. We can change the tone of this community. Come on now. And we can do it when we believe we're not trying to get, trying to get this thing, get the victory. We're enforcing something. There's a new sheriff in town. Come on now. You know, we need to begin to see that we, God has given us the authority to get the job done. And when you begin to see it that way, everything changes. You can never move a mountain you're looking up to. It's only when you see your position you can change the condition. The reason you have authority over that mountain is that you've been born in two realms. And it's your spiritual authority. It's because who your daddy is, that mountain has to move. Come on. Does this make sense? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. I love this stuff, man. I love knowing we win. I'm one of the best winners you've ever seen. I mean, I love rubbing it into people. I am one of the best winners. Years ago, I was working with Farmers Insurance Group. And there was this guy that hated me. Unfortunately, he was a Christian. He was over me. And I'll never forget, he didn't like me because I was charismatic and he wasn't. And, you know, he didn't like me because I kept winning awards, and he never did. He didn't like me because everybody liked me and nobody liked him. You know, he was a sad, you see. You know, and I was working this huge claim, and I had to actually, because he was working the regional office, I had to submit it to them because of the amount. Then they had to take it to the home office. Well, he calls up, and he yells at my boss, says, this is the worst file I've ever seen. This is the worst job. And I knew it was a good thing. I knew I did a good job. And he said, I can't stop this thing. I don't have time to send it back for corrections. So I'm going to send it on to the home office. When they send it on to the home office, I get a call from the home office. They said, this is one of the best work pieces of work we've ever seen. And we want to give you an award. We're going to actually give you an award, award ceremony. And they said, we're going to send someone from the regional office to present the award. And I said, can I make a suggestion? You know, because everyone in my office knew what had taken place. I said, and the guy that hated me presented the award. I have never seen so many camera shots in my life. Everyone. I got so tickled. Come on. That's what God does. You know, he makes you the head, not the tail. Amen. The one that was going to hang you is the one that's going to be leading you through the town. Come on now. Hallelujah. God turns it. You know, God's about ready to turn something. Let's go. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. He's the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith and the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, when you were dead in your transgressions, in circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross when he had disarmed, come on, when he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities. They have no arms. They literally have no weapons anymore. He disarmed them. He took away their guns. Oh, never mind. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Let me give you one of the best illustrations I can see. Because what I sense is that most people see themselves almost as prisoners of war down here. They don't see us as the rulers. Most people believe when we get to heaven, then we'll reign. We won't need to. There won't be any evil to reign over. But years ago, there was a general named General Wainwright. General Wainwright was one of the generals that was captured by the Japanese in World War II. He was put on a prisoner of war camp. I believe it was, you know, somewhere in the Philippines area. But it was a Japanese-controlled thing. And when Japan surrendered, one of the first things that was told General MacArthur was, go get General Wainwright. Now, General Wainwright by that time was a broken man. He'd been told day in and day out, lied to, that America was losing. America was about ready to surrender. Physically, he was broken, and his spirit was being broken. But everything changed in an instant. How many people are saying one revelation can change everything? One revelation can change everything. And when the American plane landed and the soldiers came, he went to where the barbed wire fence was, and they saluted him. He hobbled over there with a cane. They saluted him. They said these words. He said, sir, Japan has surrendered. It changed everything. You know, historians said he straightened up. It's almost like he threw the cane away and began to march briskly to the commander's headquarters in that prisoner of war camp, and he kicked in the door. And he got in that man's face, and he said, your commander-in-chief has surrendered to my commander-in-chief, and I run this place. Do you hear what I'm saying? And once we get the revelation, come on now, what happened in Colossians 2 when the enemy was disarmed, once we really get a revelation of it, we will begin to walk like General Wainwright did, and we'll begin to say, hey, we run this place because of what Christ has done.
Yes, amen.
Come on. We need to begin to see ourselves that way. We're not prisoners of war. We're not beggars. We've been given authority. Come on. See, in Luke 10:19, God said, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the evil one. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. And then he said, just so you know why you have this authority, don't rejoice in this thing. Don't just rejoice that you have authority over demons. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's why you have authority over demons. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is why you have authority, because the moment you got born again, you rose when he rose. Everything changed. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If we would ever realize the greater one, we're not what we appear to be. Outwardly, we look like Clark Kent. But inwardly, there's a super God on the inside of us. And there are times I hear God says, God wants to pick a fight sometimes. Let me at it. Let me at it. Let me at it. And so many times we just shut up and he can't do anything. He gave Adam authority, and the original sin was Adam not exercising authority, and still the greatest sin of the church is passivity. Our families get invaded because of it. Our schools got taken over because the church did not use its authority. This nation used to be a nation under God. Now they're trying to get God out of the nation. It's time to use our authority again. Several years ago, it's funny when you judge people according to the flesh. You shouldn't do that. I had this little guy. When I was in high school, and that was B.C. days, so don't judge me too badly. But I would pick this guy up. He only weighed about 95 pounds. And I would just throw him up against a locker because I liked to watch him bounce. You know, I mean, he seemed to enjoy it. He laughed. You know, his name was Paki. He was from Pakistan. And I remember one day we went, the only time I went to church was to fight. We went to a Catholic church. Actually, it was a dance in the Catholic. And we were there basically to pick a fight. You know? And, you know, alone, I always watched out for the nuns because they're tough. I always say if there was a, yeah, I would probably watch they should have like a nun tag team in WWF. They would be world champions. Those nuns are tough, man. But I went down there that one day, and I had a friend, little friend that had big mouth. And he was my friend because every time he would open his mouth, he'd get in a fight. Well, he couldn't fight. But I enjoyed fighting. So when he'd get in the fight, I'd come protect him so I could fight, you know, and I felt justified. I was helping out my friend. Well, he came down there, and he started picking on these guys. And you never know what people are really like when they have a jacket on. So he starts picking on them. So there are about five of them. I jump in the middle, and I just push the big guy in the middle, thinking, okay, this is going to be fun. So I just kind of shove him, and he doesn't move. That wasn't that much fun. I'm thinking, we're in trouble now. This guy takes off his jacket, and we're really in trouble. It's like the Incredible Hulk. I knew they had to be on steroids. Before the steroids, they just had to be there. These guys were huge. And I'm thinking, well, at least we're going to die in church. And my friend, Paki, was with us, and he steps in, you know, jumps in the middle, says, I'll protect you. And I'm looking at him like, you're going to die in church. You're not even of the Christian faith. You're not Catholic. You're going to die in church. He said, I'm going to protect you. And all I could think is, here where we got this guy, I mean, we deserve to get whooped. He didn't. So I got ready for the fight. And these five guys come out. All I saw was a foot. That's all I saw. And this guy, he did a roundhouse kick and took out five guys. Never seen anything like that in my life. They are totally knocked out. And I said, who are you? He said, I'm Paki. I said, no. Who are you? Then I thought, I used to throw this kid up against a locker. I said, you know, when I throw people up against lockers, because I like them. Sir, you know. He said, you don't really know who I am. I said, obviously. He said, let me tell you the rest of the story. He said, the reason I'm in the States right now is I'm a world champion kickboxer from Thailand. And he said, I'm training a lot of people over here and doing some exhibitions. Well, we didn't know that. Well, how many of you understand? On the outside, he didn't look like much. We don't look like much on the outside. But I'm telling you, we can whoop any enemy in this. Come on, we can whoop any spiritual and greater seed that's in us. Come on. He said, all authority has been given unto us. Come on now. We may not look that strong in the natural, but we're not in the natural. When we get in the spirit, we are a force to be reckoned with. Does this make sense? He trains your hands for war. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to get this victory spirit back in our fight. Come on now. You know. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Love demands that we be alert. Love demands that we're willing to fight. See, the devil's worrying about going back and forth, seeking whom he may devour. He usually won't even mess with you if you're in a group. That's why he tries to get people out of church. Come on now. Because if he can get you isolated, come on. Seeking whom he may devour. How many of you understand? If we don't hate properly, we don't love properly. There's a time for war, and it's now. You know? There's a time for hate, and it's now. We should hate sin. And how many people understand? If you love an alcoholic, you'll hate the alcohol. If you love a drug addict, you'll hate the drugs. You will always hate that which attacks that which you love. If you love someone with cancer, you hate cancer. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil because he hates them. He hates the works of the devil. And we should hate the works of the devil. There should be something. I remember years ago, I was at a church ministering in Indiana, and this lady came up to me after service and told me this. She was a nurse, and she said, Nancy, and, you know, Nancy Warner said, she doesn't know it, but tomorrow when she goes to the doctor's office, they're going to tell her that she has lung cancer, that her lungs are filled with cancer. So I'm the nurse. And she said, I think we need to be ready to do something after she finds the news. And, you know, Nancy at the time was 30-some-odd years old with two small kids. Good woman. I'll never forget that because we called an emergency prayer meeting the next day. And we told the people that, you know, her husband that was taking her to the doctor's office, you know, we didn't tell her him exactly. Say she's going to need to come by and we'll be here for her. So she was devastated. She was in shock. It wasn't the type of news you want to hear. I'll never forget, because she walked up to me, and the room was filled with people, but she looks me square in the eye, and she says something to me that really is a question, the hardest question I've ever been asked. She said, am I going to live or am I going to die? And see, I was an overseer of the church. And I pulled back because I knew what God's will was. But how many of you understand, just because it's God's will doesn't mean it's going to happen.
That's right.
There are a lot of people who die before their time. It wasn't God's will. But there's a lot of factors. So I pulled back. I said, okay, God, what are you saying? And I heard the Lord say to me, you tell her if she's willing to fight, she will live. So I looked at her. I said, Nancy, if you're willing to fight, we'll stand with you. If you're willing to fight, you're going to live and not die. I said, you're going to have to fight in the realm of spirit. And she looked at me and she said, I'm willing to fight. And, you know, she was hurting. The moment she said, I'm willing to fight, there was like a 72-year-old lady, which seems younger now than it used to be. I was a very young preacher at the time. She jumps up onto a chair. I didn't know she could jump. I didn't know white woman could jump. Maybe it's just white men who can't jump. But but she jumps up on a chair, and she begins to scream, no devil, no devil, you can't have Nancy, no devil, we're not allowing this, no. And next thing you know, all these ladies, especially the ladies, that spirit of warfare came on them. And if I was a demon within miles of the place. I would have run as fast as I could. And they just began to go into intercession when Nancy went into surgery the next week, there was no trace. She goes to my meetings every year. When I'm in Indiana, she'll show up she had moved out of that city, but she shows up and she'll say, "Remember, it's been 30 years ago. Do you remember?" I said, "Yes, I remember. Come on." I am so grateful. Grateful that we can fight to see miracles. I'm so grateful we can fight to see people delivered. I am so grateful that if we will do our part, God has already guaranteed it. Come on now. I am so grateful the kingdom of God's not in word only, but in power. See, a powerless church is a church that's rejected the Holy Spirit. Think about that. These signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, what I found out is a church that no longer believes for deliverance never sees any. Churches that don't believe God's going to heal today, they don't see many healings. But those that believe, they'll operate in the power of the anointing of the Spirit of God. One of the things that we need to understand is that we will cast out demons. Yes. How many of you in here, you've been delivered from something in your life? You know, God is a God of deliverances. I mean, I was a teenage alcoholic, haven't had a drink in 30-some-odd years. I'm not going to walk away. I'm not one that says, "I'm still an alcoholic." I'm not. I was, and I was delivered. It's been so long now. Other things been harder. But the good news is God still is a God of deliverances. Amen. Come on now. He's not finished. He's not finished. He has delivered me. He'll yet deliver me. Come on now. Does this make sense to you? We need to begin to believe in the delivering power of God. We need to begin to believe that God in us is stronger than the devil. And what we need to also do is we need to embrace and be clothed with power from on high. You know, most churches are powerless because they're not expecting power. You should receive dunamis, dynamite, after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Church should be the most explosive things yet. We should begin to see. I mean, we should have the reputation that you don't stay sick in that place. You need to see what's going on there. Best show in town. When I saw that paraplegic get out of the wheelchair years ago, I mean, he was paralyzed from the neck down. I watched him run. And I can't take any credit. Not like I could have, but maybe I would have. But it was during praise and worship. It had nothing to do with me. But God, he heard these words, "Run, run." And God just told him to run, and he forgot he couldn't. He got out of the wheelchair, he started to run, and then when he found out, he remembered, "I can't do this." He figured he better not stop. You know, I believe we're going to see more of that. I believe we're going to see more of that. I believe if we believe, we will see more of that. If we believe, we will see the glory of God. I believe we will see demonic powers, bro. He's trained in our hands for war. Nehemiah 4:14, I love this scripture. I mean, you know what I want you to do? I want you to get, all of a sudden, I just want you to get your growl back. You know what I'm saying? The lion of Judah growl. You know, the enemy comes like a roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion. We have the lion on the inside of us. The lion of Judah, come on. But Nehemiah 4:14 says, "When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." If I hear a word of the Lord, that's what God's saying. Fight for your communities. Fight for your families. Fight for the school system. Fight. Come on now. We can take it back, church. God wants us to take back what the devil stole. It's time. It's time that we rise up and we begin to utilize authority. Say, no more, devil. We put our foot down. Come on. You know, it's time. I remember years ago. It's amazing what we can access in the spirit realm. It's amazing the warrior angels that will show up if we'll begin the war down here. It's amazing how you can change the atmosphere and control the atmosphere. We can preach wisdom to the heavenlies. Come on now. It's amazing. Years ago, I was preaching same church in Indiana as that other thing. And at the end, we gave an altar call. And I'll never forget that altar call because a little 10-year-old girl came up. Power of God was hidden in that place. But she began to go into a level of travail and prayer I had never seen before. She prayed so hard, I thought she was going to hurt herself physically. And so intense. In fact, I know the pastor was concerned. And he finally came over. He said, should we stop her? Because she, I mean, she just is, you know, shaking violently. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out, is this God or is it not God? Because it was so unusual. And I went over to get near her. And I heard God say as clear as light, leave her alone. So I turn around and pass it. It's God. It's God. Don't touch this one. It's God. And, you know, it went on for several hours, at least a couple of hours. She's praying. All of a sudden, she's still interceding hard. And all of a sudden, the rest of the congregation, including me, we just started laughing. Something broke. And it was almost like joy began to come. Finally, she started laughing. And it's almost she came out of it, and I said, what happened there? And she said, she explained. She said, I saw all these demonic forces that were controlling the city here. And she named them. And he said, these are controlling spirits. And she's a 10-year-old over the area. She said, I began to intercede. And as I began to pray in the spirit, I saw the angels of God doing war with those demonic forces. And she said, I just had to keep interceding until they drove them out of this area. And for the next 10 years, every church that preached the gospel grew, exploded. It was easy to get people born again, where before no one was getting born again. The whole atmosphere changed. The town that was backwards all of a sudden got a facelift. You know, new businesses started coming in. I believe all that happened because of that one girl's prayers. I believe that. I believe literally God found someone to fill the gap. He found someone. Come on now. And something took place in the heavenlies. I believe that one of our greatest callings is to control the spirit realm. Make a way for Jesus to show up. Come on now. Pull blinders off of people's eyes. You know, I believe that. And I believe if we would do that, we would see this area change dramatically. Jesus is still manifest to destroy the works of the devil. When he shows up, there's a purpose behind it. He went about doing good, healing those. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing those oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. God's with us. The same anointing's on us. We should go about doing good, healing those oppressed of the devil. We literally should drive the devil out of this area. The anointing doesn't only remove the yoke, it will destroy the yoke. Come on now. And I believe it's time the church arise. Let our light shine. Come on. Our light will dispel darkness. Our light will dispel darkness. I believe if we would just wake up, we'd win.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Come on. It's time to take back this area. It's time to see supernatural progress. And it's time for God's people to take their place.
Yes,
come on now. It's time that we begin to be the influencers, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You know, God wants to give you favor. He wants to give you favor in positions. He wants us to begin to take back those regions. He wants us to take back the entertainment realm, the arts realm, the education realm, the political realm. All the church has done is a little thing in the corner. Those days are over. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Come on. That means we must become aggressive about this stuff.
Yes.
For the sake of the community.
Amen.
Even the unrighteous will rejoice when the righteous triumph.
Amen.
Come on now. Even the unrighteous lives will be better.
Yes.
Come on. When the righteous rule, there's great glory.
Amen.
Come on. Not just great glory in the church. Great glory in the streets.
Yes.
Come on now. God's influence equals God's affluence. You get God back in the place, and the economy changes automatically. Automatically. You can study throughout Scripture. The lack of God's influence always equals poverty. When Israel was right, the land produced. Come on. Does this make sense? Any place the enemy has in your life, you gave it to him. That's why it says give no place to the devil. Which means if you gave it to him, you can kick him out. Some of us need to serve some eviction notices. Come on. You're no longer welcome here. You're no longer welcome in my house. You're no longer welcome in my children. You're no longer, come on. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to be a little subtle with it when you've got demonic forces living next to you. You know, you may have unsaved loved ones. One night I was at Victory Bible School. I'll never forget this because I started studying Acts 19 where it said the handkerchiefs of Paul. God quickened that to me that night I was teaching. And they used it, laid hands on, you know, laid it on people and people were healed, and it said evil spirits were leaving people. And I thought about that. So that night I said, and there was about 30 people in the room, I said, I just have a word of the Lord that there's somebody in here, you have a loved one that's demonized. And I said, they are so addicted and possessed, and they can't even get out of it. But you've been praying for him. I said, if you could get me a handkerchief or something for a point of contact. I said, tonight I just really believe. And one of the guys came up to me, and his son was an alcoholic, lived at home. And he gave me a handkerchief. And I told him, I said, I'm going to pray over this handkerchief. I said, when you get home, I said, will your son be there? He said, no. I said, then put it underneath his pillow. Just put it underneath his pillow. And I mean, it was amazing. The next day, I taught several nights in a row. He comes back. He is rejoicing. He said, Woody, my son came in 3 a.m. He was drunk as usual. When he laid his head on the pillow, he starts screaming, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. He said, we led him to the Lord. We, you know, he said, it's amazing. His eyes are clear. He said he doesn't want to have any more. And he hasn't drunk since. There's power. We got power. We're carrying something. We got, especially when God gives us an assignment. See, he quickens something. Sometimes God will show you what to do, and it will work every time because God showed it to you. He won't show you what won't work. He'll give you a key. Come on. Key to bind something and key to loose something. Something's about ready. See, we are supposed to be a victorious church that has a legitimate impact on the various spheres of society, such as business, government, education, media, arts, etc. Our message of the kingdom, again, is not we fit in, but we take over.
Amen.
We, you know, we're the little mustard seed that's going to grow up. Come on. No one... No one knows how powerful you are except for God or you, if you have a revelation of it. No one knows that you guys can grow up and the whole community can come underneath your branches. Come on now. That a little leaven will take over the whole bunch. Well, a little bit of righteousness will begin to spread and spread and spread and spread. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Something, the kingdom of God is that way. See, the war between good and evil is raging. The plumb line is drawn. We need to make a decision that we are going to be anointed to do good and do it. There is an end time spiritual alignment that's taking place all over the earth. Understand that. One of the big words right now is alignment. God is bringing people out of places that won't do anything into places that will do something. God is literally taking people out of dead religion, bringing them into places where there's spiritual life. God is saying, you know, choose who this day whom you will serve. Come on. God is beginning to realign stuff. And when we order our lifestyle aright and come to alignment, God will show the salvation of God. He's realigning some stuff. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. When we come into alignment, the shaking actually releases resources to us. Because in Haggai 2, 6 through 9, God says, once again, he said, I'm going to shake the heaven, I'm going to shake the earth. He said, literally, the silver's mine and the gold is mine. Come on now. He said, I'm going to shake it so the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I'm going to shake it so all the resources are going to come in to the house of the Lord. God is going to shake it once again. It's a kingdom thing, man. And God will align, and he's going to raise up shepherds after his own heartbeat. They're going to shepherd the flock of God according to the integrity on the inside of them. God is raising up people that will do his will and fulfill their purpose for their generation. Something's going on. When you begin to recognize, come on, you get your fight back. Is there yet not a cause? Is there not a cause? That's what David said. And David was speaking to the church. Yeah. To a degree, they were the Israelites, a type. Yeah. They were supposed to be the warriors in the Israelites, yeah. Hiding in a ditch. What are you guys doing? Is there not a cause? You know, God, if God was here today, he'd be saying the same thing. What are we doing? What are you guys doing? Is there not a cause? Come on. Without the cause, there's no effect. So the church has had no effect because it had no cause. Till we're willing to fight for what's right, we'll live with what's wrong. What you don't hate, you tolerate. You don't hate sin, you tolerate sin. You don't hate poverty, you tolerate poverty. You don't hate sickness, you tolerate sickness. What you don't hate, you tolerate. God says, why are you living with that? Why are you putting up with that? It's time to rise. If you'll shine, he says, even your sons and daughters will come from afar. Your spiritual sons and daughters will be drawn to you. Come on now. If you rise and shine, the camels will come with provision. Come on. And it will come from the nations of the world. It will come from the heathen. Come on. If you will rise and shine, the heathen will finance heaven's will on earth. But why would people finance something that's just as dark as they are, hiding under a bushel? You put the light up on the hill, on the mountaintop, let it shine so everyone around can see the light, though many will come to it. We must stop the thief from stealing, killing, and destroying. We must. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to give authority so that we can stop the one that's stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why he gave us authority. He gave us authority to stop and destroy the works of the devil. Come on now. Not so that we can judge those that are being stolen from. Or judge those that are under the power of the evil one. We need to be the answer. Show them a better way. You know, we're going to begin, God's going to begin to give us plans, spiritual plans. Come on now. We're going to be the SWAT team here on earth. We're going to have spiritual warfare and tactics. Come on now. We're the SWAT team. God's going to give us spiritual warfare and tactics. He's going to give us ways to see people delivered. Yes. He's going to give us new weapons. He's going to show us things in the realm of the Spirit. He's going to give us prophetic utterances. He's going to give us the cutting edge ability. Why? Because he sent us here to reign in this life. We should be making the world a better place. Yes. We can go into the valley of weeping and make a place of rejoicing. We're the ones that God's anointed to rebuild ruined cities. It's one of the things that I released, and we've been praying over more, that God would anoint us to rebuild the ruined city. Spirit of the Lord's upon us. We're oaks of righteousness. Come on. We're the planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. He's literally put something in us to heal the brokenhearted, recover his sight to the blind, to set free those that are bound, to set free. There should be a place of liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty. People can be set free. They can be healed from the scars of the past. Their messes can become messages. Scars can be stars. Something's changing. God wants us to be the instruments of his change. Weapons of his. He wants us to be weapons of his righteousness on the earth. In fact, he's given us the privilege to inflict judgment, according to Psalm 149. The high praises of God in our mouth, the two-edged sword in our hand. That we literally would inflict judgment, not on people, but against wicked spirits, ruling spirits. We can be used to turn this thing. But if we don't, God can't. Because he set it up that way. See, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose, and God won't even transgress his command. Even to do what he wants done on the earth. He's waiting for a people. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you say, here am I, send me, Lord. Yes. Here am I, send me. I believe there's an anointing for war. And I don't. What I mean by that, please, don't go back to the old time. We're trying to get the victory. No, we're not. We're trying to enforce the victory. Yeah. Please, understand that. Because if you don't get that, we lose. If you don't realize that the enemy's been disarmed, that literally he's bowed before our commander-in-chief, and we're here to rule this place. In fact, in the last days, it says, when we see the enemy, we're going to say, is that the one that held nations in bondage? We're going to be so shocked at what he really is. I'm going to be honest. It's time. I'm not making light of things. But we don't have to fear him. We fear no evil.
That's right.
Come on now. Don't have to fear him. We just have to realize we have to stay in the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
And we can't lose there.
Yes, right.
We can't. It's time for the take. How many of you want to be used to take Kaiser back?
Yes.
Take it back.
Yes.
take. If that's you, come on, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. God wants a revelation that causes a revolution. I want us to take our families back. I want to see that alcoholic spirit broken. I want to bind that spirit of divorce. I want to bind that fatherless thing going on. Come on. I believe God's going to begin to raise people up. And I believe it's us. Yes. I believe it's us. I believe there's a fresh anointing all over us. Just lift your hands up towards heaven. Start thanking God that He's anointed you to fight. He's going to train our hands for war. Train our hands for war, God. Show us, God. Show us, God. Show us the fight you want us to pick. Come on now. Show us our portion. Whether it's government, whether it's the schools, whether it's the business community, show us our portion. Whether it's to fight for the children's life, whether it's to fight against that murdering abortion spirit. To see that thing overturned. Not judging the people that are involved in it, but judging the demonic power behind it. Lord, we release that right now. Something's about ready to break in this area. Kaiser is going to begin to move again. Progress is coming. God's will be done. He's igniting us for such a time as this. Properties are going to open up. Resources are going to come. Fresh fire is coming again. We are going to begin the cause of Christ. Many of you, God stirred your heart in one realm. He's shown you an area that has to change. And He showed it to you because you're an instrument of that change. Ho! 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 Watch out, devil, here we come. Watch out, we're on the move again. We're not trying to get the victory. We have the victory, and we're here to enforce that victory. We're here to take authority because we've been given the authority. We will tell you what you can and cannot do. So we're telling you can't do anything in this community. We're taking authority once again. We're going to see the bound set free. We're going to see the prisoners prospering again. Out of prison. Restored. Restored. This is an area where the restoration of God's coming again. Things I've shown you, I'm putting the fight back in for you. And I am not compartmentalized the natural from the spiritual. It's all spiritual that I've showed you. It's all spiritual. It's all part of my plan. Don't let anyone relegate you to a corner. You're not a church in the corner. You're the church. We are going to begin to influence leaders. We're going to begin to speak again the word of the living God. Right now, God, I release angels in this place. I release ministering angels to go before us, make our journey successful. Go before us. We're releasing harvesting angels to bring in souls and bring in finances. We declare this is done in Jesus' name. This is our season. Now we're doing it from a seated place. Far above. Far above. In heavenly places. The reason we can bring heaven to earth is we're seated in heavenly places.